Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. And for the three people that don't know you already, tell them that they've been actually listening to your music all along. Tell us about you.
Thank you so much. First of all, thanks for having me, Bob. I always love talking to you. My name's Ryan. I make music under the name Sleeping at Last, and I've been doing that for a long time now. And yeah, sometimes my music gets used in TV shows. Sometimes it gets used in just people's lives, and I feel really grateful.
You've actually ended up a couple unlikely places. What were the ones who, is it Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy has been so sweet to me and my music. They were some of the very first, it's probably the second or third TV show ever that would use my music, and then they just kept doing it. So,
weren't we cheering for you? Was it a Super Bowl or something?
Yeah.
I can't remember. What was it?
I did. I had a. I was honored to be a part of the really sweet commercial for Budweiser at the Super Bowl several years back. So I did a cover of the 500 Miles song, and it's a really cute puppy and horse commercial. So
so good.
It's fun. That's one of my favorite things. Yeah.
This didn't quite make the television reel, but for the people listening to this podcast, we had a wedding in our backyard. And yeah. Richard married Ashley, and sitting on the back porch was Ryan. That man, I'd want to thank you. You're just been such a good friend for, gosh, more than a decade.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. Oh my, thank you. Seriously, it was such an honor to be a part of that wedding too. That was I was very nervous that I would ruin the wedding, but it worked out. It all worked out.
You're not like the typical musician in your craft. What you do is you set these very aggressive schedules from time to time to get songs out. So tell us about how that works. I think the people that know your work are all about that. But for the people that haven't experienced that yet, tell us about how you frame some of these projects.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my favorite part about music is making it and creating and writing. And so a little while ago, it just occurred to me, like, there's all these other aspects of working on music. There's playing live, there's promoting that music, there's all these different things. But I love being in the studio and I love writing. And so I just made a choice to do that a lot more. And so I put out, rather than albums now, I do a lot of series of music. And so like right now I'm working on a project called Atlas 3, which is about 25 songs, and I'm just at the very beginning of it. And so, yeah, it's almost like, so I'm a type 9 on the Enneagram, and it's sort of a little bit of like a life hack that I set these huge schedules. I say, I'm going to write 30 songs by the end of whenever. And then because I've said it out loud, the conflict of not doing that feels scarier than actually doing it. So letting anyone down is actually becomes a bigger deal to me than actually like getting over my, you know, writer's block or whatever that is. So,
which is really kind of a cool topic to be thinking about for a Dream Big podcast, this podcast about ambitions and how do you do it. You've always set out these big goals. Didn't you say one time you were going to go through each of the Enneagram numbers and then you wrote a song for each one, right?
I did. Yeah. So I wrote all nine types and it was really, really fun. That was actually, it started as an idea that I just was excited about learning about the Enneagram and learning about the people that I know and love. And in writing those songs, I think I had I didn't realize what a challenge it was to actually write from the perspective of people that I'm not. I'm only a type 9, and but that was actually the last song I worked on. So I spent a good portion of a year working on songs for everyone else's types. And so had some identity crises going on.
I remember, didn't you let me do something in the background of one of those for a Flaming 7?
Amazing ukulele on 7.
That was it.
Dreaded.
Oh, and it was a ukulele you gave me.
Oh, good. I didn't know if you could use that. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was the one. We did a gathering together one time for Dream Big, and we called it Dream Big or Living Room, I think. And we did it at Disneyland. Remember doing that together?
So fun. It's one of my favorite memories.
Well, isn't that fun? We just, because you're big on Disneyland, as am I. And we got the House of Blues before it closed. And I think there was like 400 people there. We got them all tickets to Disneyland and we did the breakouts in Disneyland, which actually made their security people a little uptight. Because we would say, if you want to talk about your like future, go to Tomorrowland and somebody will meet you there. And your past, you could go to like Frontierland. If you want to talk about your biggest fear, meet at the Haunted Mansion. I was out on Tom Sawyer Island. Did we post you somewhere? Or were you just on the
roller coaster? I think I was in front of like the Indiana Jones ride.
Oh, nice.
Maybe actually Jungle Cruise.
Awesome. And then we had Propaganda in the castle. And I think it was Brad Montague from Kid President was in Toontown. I remember that. Yeah, it was a good time.
So fun. It's such a beautiful, beautiful idea.
When I think of you, I think of a guy who not only immensely talented at your music, but you're really good at being a husband and a dad.
Oh, thank you.
How have you balanced all of that with the push and pull? Because I know people listening have the same ambition. They want to just do a really good job to the people they love. What are some of the things where you felt like you've made some advances and sometimes that you feel like, that's the edge that I need to work on?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's the hardest balancing act of all, for sure. And I don't think I've ever quite gotten it right, but it is a daily effort of just trying to make sure that I'm first and foremost, like, showing up for the girls. And I have, like I said, I have two daughters. I don't know if I said that actually earlier, but I have two daughters, as you know. And so just making sure that I'm 100% here and able to be a part of their world, over any of my, you know, creative focuses. Cause I get in, as soon as I'm writing and recording, I get into very, like, you know, introverted space of, of dialing in and not really, able to, like, my brain only, I'm not a great multitasker. And so, it has been, from the very beginning of my daughter Lily being born, who's now 7, it has been a work in progress. I always struggled with it, to be totally honest, but it is something that it's the balancing act that I'm willing to spend my whole life trying to figure out.
Yeah. How do you toggle between the creative focus that it takes to write a really good song and staying kind of on message and in the zone when Lily runs through the door and says, "Dad, let's dress up."
Well, the better days I'm able to completely just recognize that the dress up is the thing I should be doing. And then, you know, other days I feel like, give me 20 minutes, give me 30 minutes. And then, it does eventually happen, but I'm not great at it, but I do feel like I definitely know people that are better at it than I am, but it does seem to be like a something you show up every day for and just keep trying harder and harder at doing it.
You're a little bit different than some of the musicians I know because of the intentionality. There's a lot of people who are like authors, but they never auth. I know that's not a word, but like they never get actually sit down and write words. They self-identify as like, I write books, but they just don't spend a lot of time writing books.
Right.
You, it seems like you set this big, enormous, unreasonable goal and then just try to write into it. You say, I'm releasing a song every week or every day or whatever it was. Do I have that wrong? It was many, many years ago. Had you said, I'm going to release a song every day?
Not every day, but it was a project called Yearbook, and it was sort of my answer to that question. It's like, why am I not doing more of the thing that I love? And so Yearbook, the idea was I'm going to write and record and release 3 songs every month for a year. So it was 36 songs in total. Each little EP was released like on the first of the month. And Yearbook celebrated its 10th anniversary just actually this month. And so I've definitely been putting my brain back in that space and recognizing that, wow, that's a definite before kids project. I don't know that I could do that. I'm much slower as a creative, but I'm hoping that any lack in speed with writing, I'm making up for, you know, quality of experience with my girls and soaking that up too.
I would think with your art, you're trying to figure out, what do we have here? Is this just pepperoni pizza speaking to you, or are you really on to an idea?
Yeah. I never totally know.
It is. I was out at the Oaks today. By the way, you need to come out there. Would you?
No, I just visited them. I really
was my guest for like, I don't know, a year or two. Bring the family, artists in residence. But there was a horse I had to decide whether we were going to get today. And I don't have a lot of information about it. It's got a tail, a nose, 4 legs. But I didn't have enough information to really make an intelligent decision. So I just made a decision. Yeah. I just said, we're taking it. And so for me, I don't have trouble making decisions. Do you? Like when you're trying to decide I remember Maria writing a really sweet note when I was trying to finish a book And she said, every word in the world is hoping you'll pick them.
Oh, that is the sweetest note I've ever heard. That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Of course she would.
Do you feel like your lyrics are waiting to get picked from you? Or do you feel like me? Did you just decide, I'm getting the horse?
It is somewhere exactly in between. I feel like I've spent most of my writing life with the idea of like, okay, the most important thing is to just show up. I've read all these amazing quotes about, you know, showing up at the bus stop. You can't control when the bus comes, but you can make sure that you're there waiting for it. And that's all totally true. But I'm realizing now that it's not just showing up, it's showing up and getting out of the way. And so I'm there, and I'm also making sure that I'm not preventing myself from working. And it's definitely, that's something that
There's my quote of the day. Show up and get out of the way.
It's hard work. Cause I do feel like every time I'm uninspired or every time there's a decision that can't be made, I feel like it really is just me getting in the way. When I'm in a fairly healthy space or just feeling good, I'm not so concerned about how things are going to land. They just land. And I feel like I'm able to show up and not necessarily block the path of anything creative.
One of the things that has been helpful to me in just trying to describe people I'm coaching on writing or just kind of life stuff is to just make it about who's reading it. Like for you, who's listening it? For me, who's in the chair reading this stuff? And I tell them you get one I, me, or my. Everything else costs you $20. You get one for free. Then it has to be about you, us, and our. So it has to be about our experience, what we all commonly deal with. It's a problem that we all, so we, us, and our. Once you establish I was there, I was at the bus stop, but we all are. Like you need to immediately switch. So are you writing, when I'm writing to the guy at the tire store. I'm not writing to a guy that's in the second year of seminary, just a guy. And I'm trying to say things that are true because faith influences my steps. And I know it does for you as well. I'm just trying to write around those things. Somebody asked me if I was watering down the gospel, and I'm like, oh, I hope so. Yeah. Like, I want to make it for thirsty people. Yeah. If you're not thirsty, you'll hate my books. But you're thirsty, you're going to find Jesus. So tell me about who you're writing songs to.
I'm definitely recognizing lately that I am very mindful that my girls are going to grow up, and at this moment they're 5 and 7, and they think it's mildly interesting that I write songs. So my songs for them aren't, you know, they're kind of not interested outside of unless it's BTS. There's a couple artists that they really love, and they're like, Dad, you're not as good as BTS, but good job out there. So, but I'm thinking more mindfully about like when my girls grow up, I would love for these songs to mean something in different seasons of their life. But I honestly, my writing is, and I hope this doesn't sound narcissistic, but it's such a personal journal, you know, like instead of writing in a journal, I'm writing songs. And so I'm processing my baggage all the time in my music. That's pretty much like my hope is that in processing my own world and untangling all the knots, it can be a friend to a listener and encourage them to do the same or provide some sort of sense of hope. I have in recent years been thinking more about like, how is this song going to be received in like meeting people exactly where they're at, and especially the girls?
To kind of draw a broad net, but get in touch with it. As a lawyer, I couldn't talk to Sweet Maria for the 32 years I was a lawyer about anybody. Like, she couldn't say, how was your day at work? Because I couldn't say other things than fine. Like, I couldn't talk about other people's stuff. Yeah. And so what I ended up doing is taking that piano that you played, and I would play her how my day was. And if it was a really good day, it would be kind of like high, happy, Disneyland-esque. Yeah. If it was kind of like a conflicted day, I would hit a lot of the like minor, like, you know, the black notes on there. It would be a little dissonant. If it was really bad, I just clench my fist and bang on all of them with my forehead as well.
Oh, Bob, that's so beautiful. But that's exactly, I feel like that's what music does. That's what it adds to the vocabulary. All art and all creativity, all writing, it adds to people's vocabulary for experiencing life and pointing to things that we find beautiful. And that's such a, I kind of am doing that with my songs, but I need to make it like, instead of words, just bang it out on the piano.
Yeah. To just say like this, this is the dissonance that I felt today with, you know, all the conflict, or many people would misidentify you. And I know it's for just us to know our Enneagram site, but they would see you as a four, like the feeling totally. They, like, no, I'm not that guy. I'm like totally loyal. I'm like, but they'll mistake that. And I've experienced you, we won't say the circumstance, but there was somebody that had gone through a huge, huge tragedy. Mm-hmm. And then do you remember meeting, like you drove immediately a long way to get there, and we flew out to the Midwest, and just being with somebody who had just the unthinkable had happened. And later that night, we were going to be speaking at a thing. And then remember, instead of at the end, we said, there's somebody here who's really hurt and can't give you the background, but we got a man down. And so for the next 30 minutes, this group of thousands of people crowd surfed this guy. Do you remember being together for that?
I do. It was really beautiful and touching. And
yeah, I feel like that's the church when it's at its best, just lifting people up. Like, don't just like say, I'm lifting you up, like physically lift someone up. And that was really beautiful to just say, find a couple strong hands who won't drop you. How do you deal with like setbacks and sorrows that have, because you're a sensitive guy, you're a very feeling guy. How do you deal with setbacks and sorrows and current events or past events? How do you deal with that?
I get real grumpy and mopey around the house, but I do appear as though I'm in a good mood for most other people. But my wife gets the privilege of seeing how I really feel sometimes. but that's true. And
you don't turtle.
I don't turtle too much. I probably do more so than I'd like to admit. I am working, especially, I mean, with kids too, it's an interesting thing of how you want to model your feelings, you know, how, like, I don't want them to feel responsible for how I feel in any way, shape or form. But I also don't want to hide if dad's sad, you know what I mean? Like I want them to kind of be present. Iris has told me a couple times, actually both of the girls have, that like, dad, do you cry? And I was like, of course I do. And they're like, I don't think you do. And I'm like, no, I definitely do. Do you remember that time? And they're like, no, I don't remember. So they're really, really excited for me to cry. So that might be my next turn.
Yeah. So to get real, there was somebody that was distinguishing being polite versus being honest. They were talking about then some culturally, even within the United States, different regions, you'll have people that are seemingly polite to each other, but they've swapped that for honesty. And I've always felt like you're one of those guys that just be really honest in our conversations and our friendship. I feel like it's really honest in your music as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I do find that being tapping into that musically is really, I think it's healthy for me. But it also runs the risk of me feeling like I've processed how I really feel because I wrote a song about it. And then I go back into my normal life and then I'm like, no, I don't need to talk. I don't need to think that through anymore. I've already wrote that song and I sent it off into the world. So it's good now. But it is something that you create that space. So that's in our friendship. That's been a really beautiful part of who you are, is that you are an antenna for people being honest and real. And that's really beautiful.
How do you navigate? There's a lot of people where faith is important to them that listen to the podcast. And there's a lot of people that faith isn't important to them. How do you navigate like faith into music and life and all that? Because I know you have a deep faith.
I feel like I've kept to the same rule since I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old as a very little young songwriter. Back long, long ago, it was trying to figure out like, all right, I'm a Christian, and what do I do? Do I make Christian music or do I make just music? And I felt really strongly that young that I wanted to never force my faith into my music, and I never wanted to force my faith out of it. So that sort of is like, I think that's asking the wrong question. And so my faith has just been this very much kind of this organic, natural part of my writing process. When I'm struggling in my faith, it is in the songs. And when I'm feeling a curiosity or a wonder in my faith, that is also in my songs. And that rule has kind of made sense to me ever since. I don't feel like I needed to expand on that yet.
You've got a new album, Overture 3. Is it Overture 3?
Yeah, it's called Overture 3 / Awake. It's really, you know, just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
That's our friend Don Miller that wrote A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. Like, that's a long, that's Grapes of Wrath is like a little easier. Yeah, but exactly. Why Overture 3 / Awake?
Yeah, so this is the very first song in my Atlas 3 project. And because there was an Overture 1 in Atlas 1, and there's an Overture 2 in Atlas 2, I've carried on the theme. And so this is kind of the kickoff of this this big project. So I've committed to about 25-ish songs. Most of them are not written. I'm working on it. And as soon as the song is finished, it comes out into the world, which is really fun for me because I love being able to work on something and then just be able to share it immediately. Like, I feel like the old days of like working on an album and then 12 songs later, you share them all at the same time. It gives me oxygen to go back and write to be able to get to share stuff more frequently. So, but Atlas 3 is like, it's the final of three chapters of that project. And it kind of tells the story in these different themes of who we are as people. So the first one is kind of the past and it's all about the origins. And then Atlas 2 is all about the present and involuntary human development. So it's like what we're born with. It's songs for our senses. It's songs for our four basic human emotions, those types of things. And then Atlas 3, the one I'm just starting, is about voluntary human development. So it's about everything we do with what we're born with. And so the first song is Awake, which I like the idea of like kind of being awake to your, you know, your life and showing up. And then the next song that I'm currently working on is called Asleep. And so that one's kind of fun to research.
If you're listening, if you're stuck in traffic, pull over to the side of the road, but then go find Ryan's music because I hope you heard his heart. He's just a humble guy and he's just trying to make good music. And thank you, on a personal note, just for being a really solid friend. Nice. Has been there through all the important times in our life, and you're just a solid guy. I want to thank you.
Thank you so much, Bob. Truly, I'm grateful to call you a friend.